You are on the line, live on ESPN, 106.7 in Auburn, and Fox Sports Central Alabama on 98.3 FM in Birmingham and Sylacauga. Online on FoxSports983.com and ESPNAU.com. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
You are on the line with Noah Gardner and Jacob Goins on ESPN 106 Avenue in Fox Sports Central Alabama. Happy Thursday, everyone out there. Thursday, March 3rd edition of the show. And Levi Fitzwater here for the first hour for Playing the Lines. It's good to have you back, man, for another first hour of the show. I see you got off work for once.
Yeah, it was nice to get a break. I didn't get to come last week. You know, I wanted to come in earlier this week. When you were calling Lee Scott game, I was working that day too. So
that's right.
You know, I'm just addicted to making money, man. I'm sorry about it.
Busy man. And then we got Jacob Goins as always. Jacob, how you doing?
Doing good, man. Spring break is next week, so I'm limping into the weekend and next week. But we're trying to get there, man.
Feels like spring break is earlier than normal. Now, maybe I say that every year. I miss the days when spring break lined up with the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
Instead of the SEC tournament. What are we doing?
But I kind of like it because I used to go to the SEC tournament when it was in the correct location of Nashville. But I used to go.
All schools locally here that I can think of, spring break's next week, including Auburn.
I mean, I remember when I was a senior in high school, it was the first week of our spring break started when the tournament started. Like, that was how, like, it lined up exactly perfectly. Like, I remember watching, my senior year, Florida Gulf Coast was beating Georgetown on my way to Florida.
Now, see,
I remember that happening.
When I was in high school, because I went to high school in Ohio, and our spring break was not over the tournament. The first couple days of the tournament, we were in school, and so we were watching it.
It's still cold up there at that time.
Yeah, it's not that cold.
It's not
18
that bad.
To 20 degree weather is pretty nice.
As long as it's above 20 degrees, we're chilling up there.
You're not built like Midwestern
And if the sun's shining, you're wearing shorts, man. Especially in February and March when the sun's shining. But no, our spring break was never lined up with the tournament like that. I remember watching basketball in class on the projector, on your phones and the computers and all that kind of mess.
Hot take. All schools should just revert to Zoom during March Madness.
I agree.
That way, all the students can just put up a little fake black screen. Like, yeah, I'm on the toilet or something. I can't be on right now while they're watching their basketball games.
Quick trivia question. Since you bring up FGCU, Florida Gulf Coast University, has a chance to make the dance this year as well. What city are they in? Because it's very possible that you are headed to this general area when you were headed to Florida. This may have not have been your vacation spot.
I feel like I knew this at one point in time. My brain wants to say Fort Lauderdale, but that's not right.
You have Fort correct, so sir.
Is it Fort Myers?
It is.
Okay.
See, I knew
Fort was somewhere. Okay. I was like, it's not Fort Lauderdale, but I know Fort.
But I will bring this around full circle for your fun fact of the day. Fort Myers is located in Lee County, Florida.
Hey.
Wow, looky there.
There you go.
Circles back.
You learn something new every day.
I didn't know at the time when FGCU was going through that tournament run. That was the first time I had ever heard of them.
No, I mean,
I said, who is this?
You and 90% of the country.
You and the rest of the country.
But they're a household name in small conference, not mid-major. Yeah. They are still in a small conference. They are a household name in small conference basketball, the Atlantic Sun.
And
are they even still in the Atlantic Sun? Yeah, they are.
I would assume they are still.
But now there's the team Bellarmine. I don't know how to pronounce it.
Is it Bellarmine?
I want to say it was Bellarmine. I wanted to actually pick one of those games one of the times I came on
the show. Well, they played today.
And they played it like 11 that day. And I got here and I said, that game's already done.
They played today in their Atlantic Sun tournament. And Jacob, you should know if it's Bellarmine or not because it's from your neck of the woods. It's in Louisville.
Oh, really? I was in Ohio, but yeah, I don't know.
That's right next door.
That's a good 3.5 hour drive where I lived to Louisville, but
Mobile's 3 hours away, and I haven't heard of any of the schools there either.
And half the people still call it Mobile who don't live in Alabama.
My phone included, Siri.
Well, at least it's not Opelika or something like that. It's Opelika. Come on. All right, we're going to get away from this nonsense. If you want to call in, 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. We're having a good time here on the Thursday edition of the show. Just some fun facts about teams in the NCAA tournament field potentially and some things going out in conference tournament play right now. But we're going to talk about Auburn basketball and what they did last night. I was about midway through the second half, and I was on the verge of coming off my couch and saying, someone remove the mask off of Bruce Pearl and reveal that it's Brian Harsin blowing this lead.
I mean, this team at the beginning of the second half.
Don't like that?
I mean, did we
expect an 18-point lead versus a 25-point lead, but an 18-point lead in basketball.
Same school.
Yes.
Same school.
But did we expect anything less? Let's just be honest. I mean, Auburn going into halftime, they were up by 19 points at one time in the first half.
I did not expect Mississippi State to take the lead.
I didn't expect them to take the lead, but you knew that Auburn was going to let Mississippi State at the start of that second half come back and at least make it a single-digit ball game, because the first 4 minutes of each half for Auburn, every game this year, has been abysmal.
Well, in this case, it was 12 minutes. Sorry, Levi, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, y'all are fine. It's the same sentiment, though. I mean, this team, every time they come at the start of a half, whether it's the first half, second half, it doesn't matter. I kept saying third quarter last night when I was talking with my brother, because I was watching with them, because my brain is just like, every single other basketball
exactly
that is played
men's
is
college
in quarters.
Basketball is the only one that's not, so it would have been the third quarter.
And if you break it up into quarters, the first quarter and third quarter, what you would call it, that's where Auburn struggles, the beginning of both halves. And it just seems that they come out with some sort of lack of energy. But down the stretch, they turn it on, and some games it works, some games it doesn't. But it's – look, I'm officially worried. I'll say that. I'm worried about this team officially going forward.
Well, no. I've been worried, no. So welcome to the party, Levi,
I'm late to coming.
I'm glad you've got someone in the car with you now.
I'm with Jacob on this one. I'm actually worried about this team going forward if – this can change. I can leave the party if I want to. I can make an early exit, little, you know, Irish goodbye and get out of there. Don't worry about it. But if this if this team cannot continue, like, they have to improve on that. If they can come out of halves or at the beginning of the game or whatever and show that they can come out with some fire, I'll change my opinion. But as of right now, they're not showing me that they can do that.
No.
And let me stick to my hot take that I had last week of, if Auburn lost at Tennessee, I believe that they would not go on to win the national title. And they're still not playing like it right now because they can't put together a full 40 minutes of basketball. And don't know it. Don't you dare tell me that teams can't do it now, because we're in March and this is when you have to do it. And if Auburn does what they did last night against any halfway decent team in the tournament, they are going to lose.
Not buying it. No. No. What if I told you coming into today's show, what if I told you yesterday that Auburn would shoot 46% on the road, 39% from three, and they would win by 13. What would you think?
I think that's what they should have done.
I would have thought Wilson ball. Wilson ball makes all the difference versus a Nike ball.
You guys are correct. There was a really bad stretch of play. First 12 minutes of the second half can't happen. They had 9 points across the first 12 minutes of the second half. Really, you got to quit saying first 12 minutes of the second half at that point. You should just say
the second half.
For pretty much the second half or half of the second half. You can't do that. You can't do 12-minute periods where it's broken up by 4 or 5-minute periods where you're not even getting field goals. That was really bad. Outside of that, though, I still think for 3 quarters of the game, Auburn played well, and they did what they needed to do down the stretch to win the game. I'm not trying to absolve Auburn from responsibility. I'm just not overreacting to what we saw on Wednesday. There are no more road environments. They're going to get to go and have a party in Auburn Arena on Saturday against South Carolina, cut down the nets. Everything's forgotten about. Everything will have been forgotten about after Saturday, as long as they win. Of course, they have to win, but I think all three of us would agree that you would be picking Auburn to win, probably by double digits on Saturday. If Auburn wins on Saturday, everything's forgotten about, man. All this road mumbo jumbo, all of it's gone. It's in the rear view. And they won the regular season championship outright if they win on Saturday.
You know who won't forget about it, though? Auburn's future opponents. They are going to know how to play this basketball team. And Mississippi State is not an elite basketball team, and yet look what they did in the second half against Auburn.
See,
you think other teams aren't going to be able to do that?
I don't think it's how teams are scouting or playing Auburn. I think it's how Auburn's playing. I think it's an Auburn issue. I think it's Auburn's poor decision-making. I think it's dribbling off too much of the shot clock. I think it's without purpose so many times on offense. It's putting your head down and not keeping your eyes up and on a swivel to find your open teammates. I think it's clear dysfunction. I think it's this coaching staff in some areas failing this team. Like I said, I'm not absolving this team for responsibility. I think at some point somebody has to take responsibility from what's going on. You guys are 100% correct. I do not disagree that if this team plays like this against someone in the round of 32, Auburn may be going home early. It may be that way. And I understand the folks out there saying, no, that's not going to happen and whatnot. But here's the reality. Mississippi State's not an NCAA tournament team. Auburn would be playing on odds right now. Auburn would be playing a 7, a 10, or an 8, or a 9 seed, depending on where they're seated at going in the tournament. That means Auburn's either a 1 or a 2 seed. Mississippi State's not a 7 or an 8 seed. They're not even in the field. Florida's not a 7 or an 8 seed. They're not even in the field right now. And those are the teams that Auburn's been struggling with on the road, if not even losing two on the road. So I 100% agree with what you guys are saying. If Auburn plays like this against somebody in the second round, yes, they can lose. But I think last night was your Georgia game from 2019. I think last night was what happened in 2019 when Chuma Okeke hit that near buzzer beater that helped Auburn push through at the end. What was so big about last night was Auburn is more than likely, and you're going to have to follow me here, but Auburn is more than likely not going to have to share the regular season championship. I would imagine they will win on Saturday. Imagine if Auburn lost this game, though. All of a sudden, this year feels a lot more like 2018 when Auburn did blow their lead at the top of the standings and they had to share with Tennessee on the last day of the regular season. That's what that would have felt like. If Auburn loses to Mississippi State, you have to deal with the disappointment of what happened, blowing the lead and not actually able to pull through at the end. I don't care how they pulled through, they pulled through. And now when they went on Saturday, I think they can look past all the nonsense that happened in February and the first 2 days of March. They can be excited. They're going to get some rest. They're going to get at least 6 days rest before they have to play in the SEC tournament. They're going to get, if they go all the way to the championship game of the SEC tournament, they're going to get at least 4 days, maybe even 5 days of rest before they play again in the NCAA tournament. I think that rest is going to do them some good. I think the fact that they're going to be playing on a neutral court is going to do them some good. All of these issues that Auburn dealt with this past month, I genuinely do not think that they're going to be a problem from here out. They would have been had Auburn lost, because do you remember how 2018 ended? It just kept going. They never figured it out. But the fact that they broke through last night at the end, it was just about winning. I know you're not happy with how they played for the entire 40 minutes. But if they had lost, the trajectory for this team is vastly different. But at least they did what they needed to do. They found a way to win. Now they're going to get to go and have a blast on Saturday, run South Carolina out of the gym, and they're going to be feeling good going into tournament time, which I think is important for this team, is that they're feeling good.
And I want you to be 100% right. And everything you're saying is good, and
it
I understand.
Sense.
It does make sense. But at the same time, why should Auburn have to be breaking through to beat Mississippi State? And I haven't seen
because
anything.
Because the SEC is hard.
It is hard, but
it's a tough league.
I have not seen anything in the past month and a week now, going on 5 weeks, that has made me change my mind about Auburn being able to turn the corner and just automatically and just flip a switch and say, oh, we're going to play better basketball today because it means something. I just don't see that
every
happening right now.
Every team that goes on to win a national championship, every team in college basketball, and I want to turn this to you, Levi, real quick, because I hate that we haven't let you speak up too much here, but it feels like every team that gets to March, at some point every team in college basketball goes through some type of adversity. Some teams go through longer periods than others, but we can go up and down this top 10, guys, and I can go and pick out a stretch of play where they were not playing well and they were having issues like Auburn was having, if not worse, and they were losing, right? Auburn is still a top five team in the country. They still have like the second fewest losses in all of college basketball at 4, right? They have still found ways to win, and issues that Auburn is dealing with is not unlike anyone else. Everybody's got a breakthrough at some point, and that's to your question. Why is Auburn even at this spot where they have to break through? It's about improvement. Improvement doesn't come without adversity and growing pains. Auburn, what's key here is that they found a way. If they didn't find a way last night, things would be a lot worse than where we sit at today. And so I'm saying there's at least something to build on right now going into tournament play. Whereas if they lose yesterday, I'm going to be real. A win on Saturday against South Carolina doesn't mean much to me. It doesn't, because there's still the microcosm of that Auburn blew not just another game lead, but they blew the SEC tournament or the SEC regular season championship lead. That they blew the season lead, right? Like, and there's at least something to build on here.
And it's how they did it, and against the team, like you said, this team's not in the tournament right now. If you blow a lead like that,
still a good team, and could be in the tournament if they played in the ACC.
Especially like, this year, ACC is down.
Exactly. Like if they were in the Pac-12, I think they're probably a tournament team. They may be the third best team in the Pac-12 if they played, right?
That's fair. Or you think that until Pac-12 tournament, you know, that comes around like last year where they come out of nowhere. Yeah. But no, the problems I still have with this team, and you're right, they do have to go through adversity to fix some of these problems. I'm not seeing the guard play improve. And that's what is going to worry me, because every time you turn your TV on Selection Sunday, what are they going to say about guard every play. Single team? Veteran guard play, outstanding guard play. That's what carries you through March.
Your mid-major dark horse list will be filled with teams that have two or three guards that can score in double figures.
Fifth-year seniors, you know, that have played on that team forever. And
In this case, six-year seniors in college basketball.
Because of COVID year. And that's what worries me with this team, and the high ball pressure that teams are putting against Auburn is giving them fits. And if they can fix that, obviously this team is so talented that they could overcome that and get better. One of the things that I think is just funny, this when we were sitting here talking about this and I'm listening to it, you know what we immediately went to? We immediately went to Auburn blowing this lead. We didn't even first think, we just want to share the SEC title. Like, that's where Auburn basketball is. Yeah. That our first reaction was not,
no, we don't share.
It wasn't like, oh, we're better than this. All right, we got a piece of the title. That's awesome. Like, none of us were content with that. We were all ready to just drag Auburn for the performance they put on in the second half. And we didn't even sit here and go, we're part of the SEC champions. That's awesome.
No.
Like, no, we want that. We want to win it, and we don't want to share it.
And here's what, and I'll speak to that. And yes, it's amazing that Auburn has gone to win another SEC regular season title, at least to share. And I agree with you, Noah, and Levi, I'm sure you agree as well, that Auburn is going to win on Saturday and be the outright SEC regular season champions. Okay, that is going to happen. And that's incredible, because the SEC is at least the second best, if not the best, conference in college basketball this season. So let's not undermine the fact that Auburn is going to be the champions of
the
SEC. It's the best.
It's the best.
But at the same time, we get frustrated, and you get worried about this Auburn team, because we all can see how good this team can be potentially, how much talent is on this basketball team, and what is at stake for a historical run for this Auburn basketball team.
You know that we will not have this level of talent assembled for quite some time, at least in the near future, and so this may be Auburn's best shot at winning a national championship. I get that. Here's what I'll say in response to that. Hold your breath on the worries. Check the heart palpitations until they play bad in the SEC tournament. If they play bad in the SEC tournament, I told you this earlier this week. I said if Auburn plays bad in the SEC tournament, that will be when I start to panic.
Yes,
but
exactly.
I'm not going to lose sleep over these regular season performances. I would have just been angry and upset that Auburn had to share because they blew the season lead, and you know they should have at least won one of these games. They should have beaten Florida or Mississippi State, one of the two, because Auburn's better than those teams. And if they had won one of those games, they win the regular season championship. And so for me, it was more of just being upset that Auburn pulled an Auburn again, and it was just Auburn being Auburn. And that's why I went on the tirade that I went on yesterday, where I said, look, Auburn, do the thing. Finally seize what is yours. Take it. Be great, right? And Auburn did that last night. I don't care if it went to overtime or if they played great. Auburn seized the moment. They did the thing. And that was still a hostile environment in the hump. I know Auburn had a lot of fans there. Mississippi State got into the game in the second half. And I have taught the coaches who have been on the bad side of losing momentum. And man, it's like a tsunami. There's not a whole lot you can do about it other than just hope that you can stick it out there on the floor, right?
Well, if you're
and
Bruce Pearl,
stuck it out.
If you're Bruce Pearl, it's definitely not calling a timeout.
And I texted you about that, and we'll get to some of the other nitty-gritty things in this game, because we've talked more about momentum and what this does for Auburn and their headspace. We'll talk about the actual game when we come back in a second. But I'm with you. I think in that late-game situation, in that moment where you have the ball with 13 seconds left and you've got the last shot to win it, you got to start calling timeouts. I understand trust, but this team has proven to you that they can't be trusted when you give them the option to make a key decision, because they've made a lot of poor decisions this year in those moments. And it's going back to what Levi was talking about. The guards are making poor decision after poor decision. Let's take a break here. When we come back, we're going to talk about how Auburn played last night, get into some of the X's and O's in the box score. You're listening to On the Line. You're on the line with Noah Gardner, Jacob Goins, and Levi Fitzwater. We'll be doing Playing the Lines next segment with Levi. We got him for the entire first hour talking about Auburn basketball's win over Mississippi State, 81-68. Fifth-ranked Tigers find a way to hold on and keep themselves in position to win the league outright on Saturday against South Carolina. If you want to call in and give your opinions on the game, 334-321-1390 or toll-free at 888-382-7502. Now let's get into the nitty-gritty. The actual X's and O's, instead of talking about Auburn's headspace and where they move on from here and our various projections for this team, as I'm the lone man in the studio who still has hope. Guys, let's talk about last night's performance. We were just discussing Bruce Pearl timeouts, whether it's the last possession or when Mississippi State's going on a run at the start of the second half. Really, it was a continuation of what they did at the end of the first half, because Auburn was up 40-22 at one point. They went into the half 40-28, and you could hear the announcers say, you know, this team's got to feel fortunate that they're only down by 12. And, of course, that continued into the second half with lackadaisical play. Look, you're going to have a hard time convincing me Auburn's putting in a ton of effort when they get out-rebounded by 18.
Again.
And it was worse against Tennessee, but there were some folks out there saying it wasn't an effort thing at Tennessee. I'm going to be real. It's an effort thing. Put a body on somebody. They were not boxing out. They were not doing the fundamental things necessary. I just don't think Auburn's effort was as high as it could have been. Am I saying that they were super lazy and that they were goofing around the whole game? No way. And I don't think they were like that against Tennessee, but I do think they weren't doing the little things right for the stretch of 12 minutes in the second half where Mississippi State made their run. And that was a team that was bent on toppling Auburn last night. Thoughts on timeouts, guys? I hate that we have to discuss such a simple part of the game, but thoughts on timeouts and the way the team is being managed at this moment. Once again, I do want to lay this out there. Bruce Pearl's a great coach. He's the right man for the job. He's done a wonderful thing for Auburn, but I still think nobody on the team is above reproach.
And so I'll say something that my high school basketball coach always told me. Basketball is a game of runs. And anybody who watches the sport of basketball, college, NBA, high school, rec, it doesn't matter. You see that. Even AAU.
Pick up.
Yeah, like you know that there comes a time in a game where you see one team starts to just, they get hot. They start to make their shots. They're feeling it on defense. And then,
bro, pick up basketball 7:30 a.m.
You start hitting. You find your spot. You start hitting.
All my boys
it.
Start hitting shots. I'm passing the rock.
Exactly. You feel it. Everything starts going one team's way. You know what most coaches do in that situation? They call a timeout to stop the bleeding. They try to just stem it a little bit. They try to, you know, ground your team against, like, hey, look, I see the other team's getting hot. They're starting to cut into this lead. You know,
if you wait till it's tied to call the timeout,
exactly.
Too much blood has been lost. At some point, the gas is too big to put a Band-Aid on.
You never get too high. You never get too low. Yeah. You want to try to stay in that middle, and that's what calling a timeout in those situations does. That's what it does. Like, it helps stop it. But when the game's tied or they've taken the lead,
the foundation of what you've done has been eroded.
It's past that point.
All the progress you made is now gone. And that's the point of calling the timeout when you're up by 8 or 10 points. Or when you're up by 16, 17 points and they bring it down to single digits, that's when you call the timeout, because then you come in, you know, say what you got to say, you regroup, and you go back out and you get your 17-point lead back. You don't call it when they take the lead by a point, because then it's over. And that's what you guys were just saying. And this is not the first time we've seen this year with Auburn and head coach Bruce Pearl. And it's frustrating when those things happen during a game, and then he comes out afterwards and says, you know, I probably should have called a timeout at that point. But call the timeout, man.
You
do
know
it.
What's funny? You could cover up that this game went to overtime and look at the stats and be like, yeah, Auburn played a good game and won in regulation by 13. It's like you really could.
It's like the way you phrased it in the first segment when you were going through all those stats and were like, Auburn did this, Auburn did that, they shot this percentage, they did that. You would sit there and go, that was a pretty good win. They played pretty well last night.
Let me run through some stats for you. Auburn had 19 assists on 28 made buckets, shot 46% from the floor. That's higher than Auburn's season average. Shot 39% from three. That's higher than Auburn's season average. They had 14 turnovers. Not terrible, not great, to Mississippi State's, 20 turnovers, right? They had 13 steals. Let's see, what else? They only fouled Mississippi State one more time. Auburn actually won at the charity stripe in terms of free throw makes for the first time in what seems like forever on the road. Had 15 makes to Mississippi State's 14 makes. The only area where Auburn really got mangled in the box score is rebounds, where yet again another team somehow found a way to hit a 50-piece in the rebounding column with 50 rebounds to Auburn's 32. And once again, I do go back to Auburn wasn't doing the little things in terms of rebounding. Countless times it's ball watching and nobody's putting a body on somebody.
Because there's only two guys on Auburn that are rebounding. It's Jabari and Walker Kessler.
That's true.
That's what Kessler's impact is. He only scored 4 points, but he had 10 boards.
And one of them, has a nagging injury.
Yeah,
right now.
So 1.5 players are rebounding for your entire team. Nobody else had more than three.
You got to get more out of your wing players. Al Flanagan, just one rebound. He was 1 for 6.
Don't get me started.
Even Devin Cambridge didn't have a good night last night. He was 2 for 7, 1 for 6 from three. He just had one rebound, and he's been one of Auburn's key rebounders, especially on the offensive glass. He didn't do a whole lot last night in that area. Auburn's guards, of course. When Auburn's point guards, Wendell Green and Zepp Jasper, combined for three more rebounds, than Devin Cambridge and Al Flanagan, that's not good. When they combine for 4 more rebounds than Jalen Williams and Dylan Cardwell, that's not good. And I thought Auburn's bench played better last night than they did against Tennessee. Also, it was a lot worse competition last night compared to Tennessee. Auburn, their bench put together 23 total points to Mississippi State's 10. That honestly, that's a 13-point difference. That's what Auburn won by, right? I'm not saying that that's the reason why Auburn won by 13, but I do think that had a little bit to do with Auburn being able to break through eventually. They got more help from their bench and whatnot in key moments. But, you guys are right. You look at the box score and what I said, you could cover up overtime and you'd be like, yeah, Auburn played pretty well. But if you watch the game, this is where numbers deceive you. If you watch the game, Auburn did not play well for about 12 minutes of the second half. It was all one combined stretch. And outside of that, I think Auburn played well for about 28 minutes of this game. And that 12-minute stretch can be enough to doom you, and it almost was, and Auburn can't do that anymore.
That's one of those games where had I been at work last night and not been able to watch the game, I would have came in here and told y'all, it's like, hey, I had to watch highlights and play box score.
Auburn played great.
I'd be like, why are y'all so upset? It looks like they
played great. Y'all see Devin Cambridge's lob?
They didn't let Mississippi State score a 3-point basket. That's awesome.
And that's what's so deceiving about it. And the problem is, the point that you made in the first segment, Mississippi State is not what? They're not a tournament team. And Auburn's doing this against non-tournament teams. It's going to come back to bite them if they don't fix it. I'm telling you, it's happening. And it's coming. I don't want it to, but it's coming.
Let's take a quick break. We'll keep talking Auburn, Mississippi State throughout the show. Auburn baseball, we'll talk about that coming up. But on our next segment, we got Levi Fitzwater with us today. It's time for Playing the Lines. We're going to look around college basketball. We'll be back. Thirty-three minutes into the Thursday edition of On the Line, Noah Gardner, Jacob Goins, Levi Fitzwater with you on the show, talking some Auburn basketball and Auburn's win last night over Mississippi State, 81-68. By the way, it did go to overtime, gentlemen, in case people didn't know that. And if you looked at the box score like Levi does on some nights, you'd be like, yeah, Auburn played pretty well last night. And that's the truth. I think you look at the stats, it's not as ugly as people are making it out to be. And I just think it was a bad stretch to open up the second half, an extended stretch in the second half that really kept Mississippi State in it.
It's like you said, that's where numbers deceive you. That's where you look at it and you go, you know what? I saw the thing with my eyes. I saw what was happening.
Like, Auburn didn't shoot 39% from three? What? But they did a lot of that on the front end. I would be curious to see what it looked like in the second half from three.
You could probably look it up on, I don't know, you can get the stats from Stat Broadcast. They have the first and second half splits. You could do that. But for anybody out there listening, give us a call here. Give us your opinion on Auburn basketball's win last night. What does this mean? How do you feel about Auburn winning? Do you have higher expectations now? Do you still kind of feel the same? Give us your opinion. We want to hear from you. 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. We want to hear from you.
All right, it's time for Playing the Lines with Levi Fitzwater. Of course, all fun here. Just a different way to look at some of the matchups going on in college basketball tonight. It's unfortunate that lines and spreads don't come out quicker than the day of or the night before a basketball game, because I would have loved to have talked about this weekend with you. But let's talk about Thursday night, the stale bread night of college basketball, and some thoughts that you've got on this evening, which is pretty much headlined by a couple of Big Ten games. Houston's playing tonight out of the American, and there's one semi-decent Pac-12 game this evening, and I'm not talking about Arizona. That is plus 4,000 on the money line.
Yeah, you look at the spread of games. You look at this board that you're giving me that I'm looking at. It's not good. I had to do some digging. I mean, I talked to you before.
It truly embodies the stale bread.
It is. I mean, like, I'm actually, you know, taking a piece of bread right now that has mold on it, and I'm picking off the mold. I'm that hungry looking at this, and I'm not finding anything. I'm having just a small piece of bread that I flick the mold off.
There's not
off
a whole lot
garbage
of value
can.
Tonight either.
The definition of painting a picture, nicely done.
It's a struggle meal. I mean,
there's no real underdogs to look at tonight and say, I like that.
There's one underdog that I like, but I still don't even feel confident in
it. Is it the same one that I like?
No, it's not the same one. I mean, I do like that one too, but I'm not stealing your thunder on that one because I know what yours is. I didn't want to go the same direction because I know you've got...
Well, I'm interested to see who your underdog is that you do like, and please don't tell me it's something from the Big West Conference.
Oh, it's not. It's not. I do have games from the Big West Conference.
Well, give us delicious. Go ahead and give us your first one, Levi.
All right, so I really like Cal, plus 7.5.
Interesting.
I don't know if they outright win in Tempe, but they did smack around Arizona State earlier in the season. This is a different Arizona State team that we've seen.
Playing a lot better.
They're playing some of their best basketball. They are playing their best basketball they played this season.
As well as a 12-win team could play at this point, but
exactly.
You are correct.
Yes. I mean, it's their best basketball.
They're almost at 500 in the Pac-12, only two games below, could win out and get there.
Yeah, and I feel like these two teams, when I'm looking at this line, this is one of those lines where you look at and you see 7.5. Yes, it's on the road. But I just feel like this line should – I'm projecting this line when I'm looking at it. It should be more of a four-point line, in my opinion. And anytime you see that kind of discrepancy –
how could someone this bad be favored by nearly 8 points?
Yes. And is it a trap line? Probably. It's probably a trap line. But it makes me feel better that there's about 38% of people betting on Cal that are locked in on that. That means that the public, 62% is on Arizona State. You know I love fading the public. That's my go-to. I love doing it, especially when it lines up with what I'm already looking at. I'll take Cal plus the points. If you want to get frisky, you can go some money line action here on it, but I do not feel confident in that. I barely feel confident in the 7.5, but the numbers are telling me to do it.
They're big dogs tonight, man.
Yeah, I'll take it. I'll go with that. I'll go with Cal as a... That's my underdog that's not from, the Big West out in the middle of nowhere that nobody's going to watch outside of myself at 1 o'clock in the morning.
I'm going to be really honest. I'm not watching Cal and Arizona State at 7 o'clock on the Pac-12 network. I'm not going to
even get the Pac-12 network?
No. No, I don't.
I don't. It's not in my YouTube TV package. Yeah, I wouldn't want it because the Pac-12 doesn't do what the SEC network does and actually put their delightful games on it. They still try and get all of their games on ESPN or something like that because you know why? I would imagine most people don't have the Pac-12 network. You know what network I have that I really enjoy watching on the occasion? This is kind of SEC blasphemy a little bit, but I like the Big Ten Network, dude.
Oh, man.
They do a good job of getting some good games on there.
Yeah, they do have some good basketball games.
They have some good football games on there.
Yeah, I'll admit, I've watched some basketball on there this year. They have some, you know, Ohio State will end up playing Wisconsin or something on the Big Ten Network on a Wednesday night, and you're like, wow, that should be like on ESPN or something.
Also, similar to how the SEC Network is aligned with ESPN, the Big Ten Network is aligned with Fox, and the Fox College Basketball Scorebug at the bottom. It's the best basketball scoreboard that we have ever had in the history of televised basketball. Ever.
I can agree with that. I do like ever. The Fox. I like the Fox scoreboard.
It's a little
scoreboard.
Big.
I do like the Fox scorebug.
ESPN's right now, the worst that I have ever seen in the history of college basketball scoreboards. I would rather them go back to circa 2009 and have the standard black and red one that they had at the top, or even let's go back to like 2006 when it was just a black box in the upper left-hand corner.
Let's just not have one. You just have to guess. Let's go back to the days where you're scoring at home. Like you have the baseball run sheet at home where you're having to like mark in.
And granted, I think about these things too much, and that's probably because of the field that I'm in and what I studied in college. But to be fair, I'm gonna be real with you guys. It really does make or break my experience watching the game, what the scorebug looks like.
Yeah, I agree.
It makes or breaks
it. We're nerds when it comes to stuff like this because we've all been into, like, all of our degrees when we were in school and still in school, like, things like that. That's where we learned about these things and we overanalyze things like that, where how an announcer, you can look at an announcer and go and see everybody dragging this one guy and it's like, I feel like technically he's fantastic. He's doing a good job. And people are like, I don't like this guy because he doesn't like my team.
And to go off of that, right now, I can turn on a game and I can tell within the first 5 seconds whether that broadcaster is sitting courtside or he's sitting in an office at his house.
Uh-oh.
That makes me livid.
Jacob Goins, get off my lawn!
the Zoom broadcast.
Put the announcers back in the arenas. There's no sense in it. I'm not getting on that rant today, but
get off my lawn.
It is.
It was pretty awesome when, you know, they were doing Korean baseball from, you know, miles away. I love Korean baseball. That was the highlight.
Separated by an ocean and they're broadcasting.
It's coming back. You know, MLB's canceling games. KBO is coming back.
Look, why not just broadcast college baseball?
NC Dinos.
Tune into college baseball because we're not going to have the MLB for a while.
You
so.
Can't because they don't put it on TV. The best channel
to
ever get
ESPN
on.
ESPN Plus.
It's hard to even find stats. They barely keep up with stats.
I agree.
To dig for stats. Like, if you want people to watch, this is a complete tangent, but if you want people to watch your sport, don't make it hard to access just the bare minimum of stats.
Well, then let me pump in, listen to the radio broadcast.
Listen to us. We'll talk about what
happened. Talk about it. Yeah.
That's where I get my baseball information.
We have gone completely off the rails here, fellas.
We are speaking the truth.
That's fine. All right, so let's circle back. I've got a couple more. I got three more listed. I didn't have this game circled until I started thinking about it, talking with y'all earlier. Kansas minus 12 tonight. I'll take it. That's a layup. They just played TCU. They just lost to TCU.
To cover or for TCU to cover?
No, I'm taking Kansas to cover.
Interesting.
Every time you see games like this where the last time they played,
swift retribution.
It goes flip-flop. They know this team. They're comfortable with this team. They saw everything. Look, TCU won. They had the storm chasers from Barstool out on the court, you know, celebrating with the students. They were chasing a storm. You think Kansas is going to forget that? Blue Blood Kansas is going to let this happen again?
Also, TCU's
place?
Been playing for their tournament hopes. Back-to-back wins over Kansas and Texas Tech.
It's got to run out, right?
It's got to.
That team's
got to
run out. I'll take Kansas.
They got what they needed.
12's a lot. But I feel comfortable taking it. I think Kansas just drags TCU tonight, and I feel comfortable in that.
Also, Kansas with back-to-back losses to Baylor and TCU now, they've got to break through at some point. Eventually, the averages return, and the averages very much so support the notion that Kansas would win this game by double digits. Now, 12 is a lot. That freaks me out a little bit, but
I got two more. Favorite conference, way out west. We've got Idaho and Portland State, the game that everybody's been waiting for today.
I thought this was the Big West.
Everybody is talking about Idaho, Portland State. I don't know any of the conferences out west. I just know they're out there in the West. I call them all the Western Conference. They're all there. Even
from
the Pac-12.
Moscow, Idaho?
Yes. So,
not Moscow, Moscow, Idaho.
Idaho and Portland State, over 156. Idaho, very good three-point shooting team with efficiency. But on the flip side, they're ranking in like the 300s, the 2s and 300s of defensive. I see this as just a high-scoring game between two teams out west. Nobody's going to watch, so the lines are generous. You wonder why I always go for these games. It's because Vegas doesn't care about these games as much because there's not eyes on them, so the lines are a little bit more generous.
You brought me an 8-win team versus an 11-win team today, sir?
For the over.
Oh man.
Hey,
oh, man.
I know you're going to watch it with me, right?
Money's money.
I can't. I don't have
ESPN
Plus.
Fake money is fake money, right?
That's fine. We'll hop on Zoom and we'll watch it at 8 o'clock in the morning. I don't know what. I assume it's probably going to be like 3 a.m.
Take me to the Big Ten, man. Do you have anything on the Big Ten today?
I don't have anything on the Big Ten, but I do have Cal Poly's my favorite game tonight.
Well, let me throw you on the spot then. Number 24, Iowa at Michigan tonight. Michigan, 2.5-point favorites. Iowa is the dog on the road.
I'm riding with Noah on this one. We talked before the show came
Hawkeyes,
on.
Hawkeyes, baby.
I'm rolling with the Hawkeyes. The only thing that scares me is the mismatch in terms of size at the center position. That is what scares me a little bit. That is the only thing.
Center averaging 18-8.
I know he's like
at Michigan. That's Dickinson,
and he's a you know big body back to the basket kind of guy. Will they be able to hold up with Iowa with giving up that size you know discrepancy? Is that enough for Michigan to, you know, pull off and win this game?
What Michigan do you get tonight? That's a fair question.
I hate teams that are inconsistent. So, like, I'll roll with Iowa. They're playing some of their best basketball right now. It's a good one to always say.
Four-game win streak.
It's at Michigan, though. Does that have any factor into it?
And that's another thing. I don't think so. I like Iowa in this game. Outright winners and points. And you can take both on that.
What kind of cheese is this that Michigan got four straight home games at the end of the year?
Yeah, that's...
What is this?
That's wild. Rutgers, what? Illinois, Michigan State, and now Iowa. Those are big games to have at home, especially this season.
And then they're at Ohio State to wrap it up. But still, they got four home games in a row at the end of the year.
Especially with playing the best team in the Big Ten in Rutgers.
Six of their last nine were at home. What?
Rutgers is my season, my Big Ten champions, by the way. I don't acknowledge Wisconsin. It's Rutgers.
You don't acknowledge a lot of teams in front of Rutgers inside the conference standings if you say
fifth
that.
Fifth place is the new first,
yeah,
fellas.
They're sixth
That's
place.
That's in my personal
They're even worse.
But looking at Iowa and Michigan, I like this game for some of the reasons that Levi said, talking about Iowa playing well right now. Four-game win streak, beat Michigan State, a part of that by 26. Beat Ohio State as well by 13. That, you know, they're scoring a lot of points right now. They've scored more than 80 in three of those games. One of those did come against Michigan State. They scored 75 against Ohio State. Only lost by 5 to Michigan last time out in kind of a back-and-forth game. And I think at one point Iowa did lead in that game. Of course, Michigan can be a good team. They beat Rutgers. That's a good basketball team. Beat them by 9. Beat Michigan State by 17 last time out. That's a good win, right? Only lost to Illinois by 8. Lost by 14 to Wisconsin. Hung around for a little bit in that game. And then they beat Iowa. So they've had a really tough schedule these last 5 games. And Michigan has weathered the storm well to get to 3-2 and put themselves in a position to be in the NCAA tournament. Both of these teams are tournament teams. I like Iowa. Simply put, they are the more efficient offensive team. Keegan Murray's playing some fantastic basketball right now. These guys are going to score. Michigan only averaging 73.2 points per game. I just don't think that they're going to find the points necessary to win tonight. And I think Iowa's going to get them back for the 5-point loss about 2 weeks ago.
I would take the safe route. I would take Iowa plus 2.5 at Michigan tonight. I think Iowa's playing.
It's plus 2 now.
Plus 2. I would still take it.
Yeah.
And because I think Iowa's, they were not good throughout most of this season until the last couple of weeks. Heck, the last 2 weeks, they still didn't have a quad one win. But now they have 3 or 4 of them now. And I think they continue to get, continue this role that they're on. I like Iowa to win tonight on the road at Michigan. Take them plus 2. That's the safe route in my opinion. But either way, I think Iowa wins the ball game.
16 assists per game, averaging almost 84 points per game. Like, Michigan's not anywhere near that, and they still give up about the same amount of points. It's efficiency for me. And Iowa's vastly more efficient on offense, and that's what's ending up. I think at the end of the day, when you compare two basketball teams, efficiency is what ends up rising. That's what ends up ultimately averages play out over the course of the season. The more efficient team ends up typically winning. And in this second game here, I think that's what's going to play out. So I'm going to go Iowa in this one. But let's take a quick break. When we come back, we got one more segment with Levi Fitzwater here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
Back here on the line on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central, Alabama. Jacob Goins, Noah Gardner with you today on the Thursday edition of the show. We have Levi Fitzwater in the studio today for just a few more minutes before we head to hour number two. We've been discussing a lot of Auburn basketball. We just wrapped up playing the lines with Levi Fitzwater. Went over some of the
underbelly of college basketball.
Yes, the Thursday slate of college basketball. Take it as you will. Had some interesting games. We broke down Iowa, Michigan. I thought it was a good breakdown, fellas.
Yeah, we didn't even get to the underbelly of the underbelly. Cal Poly plus 10. That's the big one tonight. I can't wait to sit down, watch Cal Poly host UC Irvine and the Anteaters catching 10 at home. I can't wait to watch
you
that game.
You didn't bring me Utah Valley versus Grand Canyon analysis. What's wrong with you?
Okay, but when you actually make these picks, Levi, on those types of games, do you actually watch it or do you just keep up with it? You can be honest.
How can he watch it? Is it even televised?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
I have a buddy out there who sends me Morse code and play-by-play. That's usually how I keep up with stuff like that.
It's interesting. Well, that's what I was going to...
It really just depends on what I'm doing. Like, most right. nights, I'm a little too busy, so I have to play box scores.
This man works in the evenings.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say is, well, I know you work, and then at two, a lot of these games that you pick, they're not even broadcasted on television. You have to find some illegal stream somewhere, somebody streaming it on their cell phone from the upper deck.
I will say this. I would never, ever find an illegal stream and watch a game. I would never do that. And anybody at home who's thinking about that, do not do that. I would never do that. It's just for safe. Entertainment purposes only to talk about it.
It's definitely not safe.
Never, yeah. I repeat, never.
All right, let's wrap up our conversation here. I do want to talk a little NFL draft, okay? Some measurements going around, okay? Folks with some small hands out there in the NFL,
baby
reportedly. I love Joe Burrow's response a couple of years ago when Joe Burrow said, sorry, need to retire or step away from football. Yeah. Apparently my hands are too small. I'm going to be dropping the football or something like that. I thought that was hilarious. Of course, he popped off. But we were having a discussion about quarterbacks during the break. And you tweeted out last night, you really like a certain former Auburn quarterback out there. And that's not Jarrett Stidham.
No,
obviously, he's not in this draft class. Yeah. But
I think Malik Willis is the best quarterback in this draft.
Now, why? Because I'm going to push back.
I know you
this.
Are. So I think, one, you've seen a steady progression of him from his time where, you know, he left Auburn, went to Liberty, and he's grown as a passer. Obviously, the athleticism was there all along. We saw that at Auburn when he'd come in and play and you know, spring games, end of blowouts against Alabama State, things like that.
He's not taking safeties anymore.
No.
Hugh Freeze actually developed him.
Yeah,
okay.
I think he developed his arm, and he's not done. I think that's why he's my favorite quarterback prospect.
Because you think he will develop, not necessarily the product that he is now, but you think that he's coachable and malleable.
And I think that he has the thing. He has the arm. There are two guys in this draft class that have just a big, unhinged cannon for an arm that are a little bit more raw, and that's Malik Willis and Carson Strong out of Nevada. I think those two guys, they have the most upside. Like, you look at guys like Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, they came into this league raw. And a lot of people, I laughed when the Buffalo Bills drafted Josh Allen. I let out a loud cackle at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Well, who's laughing now?
I eat crow on that one every time I see him play. I'm like, I laughed. I cackled. It was like, I think Mina Kimes did the same thing when they drafted Daniel Jones. That's how I felt when the Bills drafted Josh Allen.
Oh,
I
only
laughed.
If Daniel Jones had gone to a better franchise.
Would it have mattered, though?
For those two, it would have. I think Sam Darnold and Daniel Jones really could have benefited from not going to dysfunctional organizations.
So they would have been another Matthew Stafford?
No, I wouldn't say that far, but I think they could have, you know, just been your generic quarterback that bounces around the league as a starter for 8 years or so.
Joe Burrow went to a crappy organization. Now he's competing in Super Bowls.
He's got players around him, though. He's got some receivers.
The Jets problem, I don't think – I mean, yes, the organization is miserable.
But I also don't know if Joe Burrow's going to make the playoffs next year. That's my big hot take. I don't know if the Bengals make the playoffs next year.
I mean, that's fair. It's a fair analysis. You got to get
tough division. They still have a lot of roster holes. I think they were fortunate to make the playoffs this year. Half the division got injured or had COVID.
Look at Atlanta. Atlanta went to the Super Bowl, and what happened? They haven't even came close since then. I mean,
they made the playoffs since then?
I think maybe the year after.
I don't know if they have.
I don't think they have, though. I mean,
we got a Falcons fan in the room. They've not made the playoffs since then.
It's
that's
also
wild.
Really hard, you know, because Atlanta's in a division that's owned by the New Orleans Saints forever and all eternity. So, I mean, it's pretty hard for them.
Here's my issue with Malik Willis. Some things scare me here. He's 6'1". Now, I know that the Cardinals made it work with Kyler Murray, but they don't even really like him too much right now. Let's just be real.
I don't think he likes him either. It's okay.
He threw 12 picks this past year. He's a little trigger happy. And he's playing on Liberty's schedule, right? And when he played Power 5 competition, now granted, you could have said the same thing about Josh Allen in the second year. And this Liberty team was clearly not as talented as the one last year. So I understand the comparison there. That is fair. But some of his decision-making, when he has played Power 5 competition, like Ole Miss this past year, I think he threw 3 picks or something like that. I'm just not vibing with some of the physical dimensions as well as some of the decision-making. Really scares me. He's getting compared a lot to Lamar Jackson, and I'm just not vibing with that. Lamar showed a lot more in college than Malik Willis has. But granted, I do like your point, though. That's a point that I haven't really heard. I love the point. He's coachable, and maybe he's not done yet, whereas some of the other quarterbacks in this class, they may be hitting their peak. Like Kenny Pickett, I don't know how much better he's going to get.
I agree with that. I feel like Kenny Pickett's kind of at his – Kenny Pickett feels like a safe sort of pick. Like, I don't think he's going to – improve too much or wow, you kind of like the Kirk Cousins of guys coming out where you're like, he could win you some games, he could keep you in there, but is he going to do anything spectacular? And that's why when you're looking at the draft, and that's why when I'm evaluating guys like this, I'm looking at the guys who I think have upside, guys who can become the next big thing. And I see that in guys like Malik Willis, Carson Strong, because you didn't really get to see them in great competition that often, but they have the physical tool set to be able to do that. I like those kind of guys a little bit more than the safe picks.
Levi, we appreciate it, my man.
Anytime. Anytime I'm allowed to come up here and I'm not... Anytime I'm not working, I'll be up here.
That's it for hour number one of On the Line. We'll be back at 3 p.m.
You are On the Line, live on ESPN, 106.7 in Auburn, and Fox Sports Central Alabama on 98.3 FM in Birmingham and Sylacauga. Online on FoxSports983.com and ESPNAU.com. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central, Alabama. Jacob Goins, Noah Gardner with you today on the Thursday edition of the show. Hour number two is underway, and if you missed hour number one, just search On the Line wherever you get your podcasts. We had Levi Fitzwater on for hour number one, but let's start hour number two like we always do with Making Headlines.
Making Headlines. First headline, we'll talk a little Auburn basketball. The win last night.
You know my opinion on it. Auburn, they won. They now have at least a share of the SEC regular season title. They looked good for the whole first half, except the last probably minute where they gave up 6 points. And then the second half happened where they blew a major lead yet again. And then they went to overtime. And KD Johnson took over. They looked like a different team. They scored 20 points in 5 minutes of overtime. And they scored 21 points in 20 minutes of the second half. So... there's just a lot of up and downs with this Auburn basketball team. We've talked about it for the last, 2 months now? And it's great that they won. It's great that they have a legitimate chance to win the SEC championship outright, which I think they will on Saturday against South Carolina. But the problems that this Auburn basketball team has had for all of conference play are still here. And they have not changed. They have not been fixed. And that worries me a little bit, Noah.
I understand worrying and the contingency of Auburn people that get worried. It grows with every game, it seems, on the road, right? And then Auburn plays well at home, and then everybody's like, all right, have we figured it out yet? I'm like, no, you got to wait till you see them play away from home again. Unfortunately, you're not going to get to see that again until they play on a neutral floor, right? But that's also, fortunately, all road games are behind Auburn, which are a lot tougher, right? I mean, the SEC is so deep, and I do think that part of the problem for Auburn is how deep the league is and that you're going to get everybody's best shot when they're playing at home, especially when you got number five on your chest, right? And so Auburn going to Mississippi State yesterday, of course, there was an atrocious stretch of play, 12 minutes, that almost cost Auburn the game. It was the 12 minutes of the second half where they had like 2 4-minute stretches inside that 12-minute stretch where they didn't have a field goal, weren't scoring points. But when you just look at the stats on paper, the only area where Auburn got mangled and Auburn didn't do well was rebounding, which, and if you were watching the broadcast last night, the announcers were talking about Auburn getting dominated on the boards by Tennessee, and they quoted Bruce Pearl as saying that it wasn't an effort thing, right? And we had Christian Clemente earlier in the week, and he was saying something similar about that. It's an anomaly, which it is an anomaly. The Tennessee game was an anomaly on Saturday in terms of Auburn getting out-rebounded, but the problem is it reared its ugly head again at Mississippi State, and Mississippi State annihilated Auburn on the boards last night. 50-32, it was almost as bad as what happened at Tennessee. It said this is a worse team. They got 21 offensive rebounds. It's not an anomaly anymore. It happened back-to-back times, and if you watched last night, and this is just watching film, if you watched... you saw they weren't putting bodies on guys. They were ball watching. They weren't rebounding. They weren't doing the fundamental things necessary to be a good rebounding team. And in the first hour, Jacob, you said it well. There's only two guys rebounding right now. And it's Walker Kessler, Jabari Smith. Let me go through this with you, man. Only one player had more than two rebounds outside of those two guys. And that was Zepp Jasper, who had three. And then KD Johnson had two, and Wendell Green had two. All of the other forward slash wing players each only had one rebound. Jalen Williams had just one rebound. That's atrocious. Jalen Williams only played 10 minutes. He had 3 fouls again. He's gotten himself into foul trouble over the last little bit. He hasn't had his minutes increase like we would like him to because he's getting into foul trouble, right? He didn't rebound. That's atrocious. The time that he was on the floor, those 10 minutes, you got to get more than one rebound. He was largely a non-factor there. Dylan Cardwell just got one rebound. Dude, you're playing for 16 minutes, man, and you're 6'10". Go get you a board and do what you got to do to get a board. He had more assists. Dylan Cardwell had more assists, Jacob, than rebounds. Dude, you're not Joakim Noah. You're not the best passing center. You're not Nikola Jokic. That's not you, man. Go and get you a board.
He's in there for one reason, to get rebounds and dunk the basketball.
Now, granted, he was 3 for 3, had 6 points. I thought he was relatively efficient, but you got to go and get more rebounds than just one over that 16-minute stretch. And then Devin Cambridge, with 19 minutes, just had one rebound, and he's been one of Auburn's biggest guys crashing the offensive glass. You just didn't get enough. Alan Flanagan with just one rebound. You can't have that. You can't. And that, to me, is more of a factor of ball watching, not putting a body on somebody, not boxing out. When somebody gets 21 offensive rebounds on you, they didn't get 21 fortuitous bounces off the rim on long rebounds. That did not happen. You got beat. And they got beat on Saturday the same way. I don't know what it is. I don't know why that's happening. But Auburn played well for about 28 minutes. And that 12-minute stretch in the second half was Auburn just not doing the things fundamentally that you've got to do right to win basketball games. And it almost cost them. But ultimately, of course, this team found a way to win. And I think that's what's important about yesterday. And some people may be tired of me defending this team with the way they're playing right now. But look, they're 26-4. 14-3, they're about to be able to win the conference. This is my reason why I think last night was so important. It feels like that Georgia game in 2019 where they finally broke through, and I could end up being wrong. These problems could persist onto the neutral floor, and so that's where I'll say this. I will amend my statement a little bit. I will qualify my statement a little bit. I'm not worrying, and I said this earlier this week. I said this on Monday to you. I'm not worrying until this team plays bad in a tournament setting. I'm not worrying about that. I will worry about the NCAA tournament, if Auburn's issues continue to the SEC tournament. But if Auburn goes and wins the SEC tournament, if Auburn goes out there and plays well in the SEC tournament, I really hope you and others change your tune and change y'all's tune on the way that you view this team because, and don't say, well, they finally broke through and all that. No, it was just never something to worry about to begin with. And everything that we were worrying about, I think we could have just saved their breath and said, let's just be patient and let's see if they work it out, right? Obviously, I don't disagree. There are things to work out, but I'm just saying, let's don't freak out. They've got talent. They've got the stuff to work through it. And I think winning this game on the road, now they get to enjoy the SEC championship. Potentially, they still have to win on Saturday, but assuming they win on Saturday, which I think you and I both would pick them to win by double digits on Saturday, assuming they win on Saturday, look, they are the only team hanging a banner this year, man, for a regular season championship. They're not going to have the seeds of doubt thrown in on them going into March because they lost on the road again. No, they are SEC champions, and they can carry that confidence into the tournament. They'll have a significant period of rest, 6 days to get their legs back underneath them before the tournament begins. And then depending on how far they go in the SEC tournament, if they make it to Sunday, they'll get another 4 or 5 days rest going to the NCAA tournament. I think all that rest is going to do them well. I think this win and winning the regular season championship outright would do them very well. Obviously, don't lose at home. That might really mess you up. But just go out there, win on Saturday, have a good time, enjoy yourself. Auburn could be 27-4 going to March, man. And this team's going to figure it out. I really do believe that. And I think yesterday was Auburn figuring it out a little bit because they didn't lose. They punched through. All the other games that have been close like this over the last month, they've lost. They've lost. That's just the reality. So you can even say to a degree, Auburn took a step forward last night. Even though they didn't play great for 40 minutes, didn't put a complete performance on the board, you can't deny they did something last night that they didn't do in February on the road against anybody other than Georgia, of all teams.
But it was against Mississippi State.
Hold on now. No disrespect, bro. They're 17-12 going into last night, 8-8 in the SEC.
Also, that game never should have been in that position for them to have a miracle rally to get to overtime
It shouldn't have. You are 100% correct. It shouldn't have. And I'm not denying Auburn's issues that they've had, but Auburn figured it out. You can't deny that. They found a way at the end, which is something they have not done for almost a month now in these types of environments. That's at least a step forward. Auburn figured it out.
I'll give you that. Yeah, they figured it out. They figured out a way to win after they quit playing basketball for 12 minutes. They figured it out, and they won a middle-of-the-pack road game in the SEC. That's fine. But here's my problem. Auburn, and not just Auburn, any team that wants to be successful in the NCAA tournament, I know every game that you play in that is neutral site, but the good and the great teams are able to win games in the regular season on the road and win premier top-tier road games. Auburn doesn't have that.
What about Kansas? Let's just go up and down the top 10 and look at all the teams that happened and all the losses that have happened over the last little bit. Kansas just lost to TCU, right?
Which is bad.
It is. I wouldn't say it's bad. I just don't think it's not good. Kansas is a 19-win team going to play in the NCAA tournament, right? I just think everybody's dealing with issues like this. You go up and down the top 10, Auburn is not exempt from that. And if anything, Auburn has done better on the road than a lot of these teams. But you look at Gonzaga, just lost to St. Mary's. Gonzaga losing any game in the WCC, that's like... We talk about SEC baseball expecting to win a non-conference play against a bunch of these bad teams. That's like dropping a game to someone you have no business losing to. At the end of the day, it doesn't really matter for Gonzaga going to the tournament. We still know they're an exceptional basketball team. Arizona loses by 16 on the road to Colorado. Colorado would be below 500, bottom four in the SEC if they were in this conference. Baylor, 24-5. They've had their fair share. But if you want to talk about a team that's been somewhat consistent through all of their tumultuous injuries and the shakeups with this team, they've actually hung tight. So if you want to say that Baylor's handled their business aside from road ranked losses, Baylor's handled their business while injured. Duke, they've had some mind-boggling losses to subpar teams in the ACC. That's where most of their four losses come from right now, aside from Ohio State back in non-conference play. Kansas is on a two-game losing streak. Lost to TCU by 12, like I just mentioned, and then lost to Baylor before that. Kentucky, six losses, man. I mean, they've had their fair share as well. Purdue just lost at Wisconsin, potentially just blew the Big Ten championship.
But you know what none of those teams has, or you know what none of those problems do? That doesn't change Auburn and fix Auburn's problems. Because I don't care what any of the other teams have done. I understand that teams lose on the road. Teams have gone through some stretches. I get that. The top 10 is not extremely strong right now. This is probably one of the most diluted top 10s we've seen in a long time because these teams are losing once and twice a week. We see a top 10 team go down at least once during the week, if not twice or three times. But whether Gonzaga loses or Baylor loses or Kansas loses or how they do it or how they play, none of that affects how Auburn plays and how Auburn's mistakes are going to hurt them. None of that affects
that. I don't disagree. I constantly champion that.
And that's my argument. And here's my thing. I don't want people to get it misconstrued that Auburn can be the best team in the country. I've been saying it for since November. And we saw after the UConn loss, I said, man, this team has a lot of talent and can be really, really good. And I still believe that, but they're running out of time to fix the things
Let me probe you on this a second, because I do have a question to divert to you here about your take and why I disagree a little bit. I understand what you're saying, and Auburn does have problems, and everybody else losing doesn't affect Auburn, right? Like everybody else in the Big 12 or somebody else struggling, their issues don't affect how Auburn plays basketball. You're 100% correct. I said in the first hour that I think Auburn's issues are a product of Auburn rather than a product of their opponent scouting Auburn. And that's another reason why I'm not overly concerned when Auburn gets onto a neutral floor. But here's the reality. Auburn loses to a Tennessee team that I think should probably be a top 10 team or at least a little bit closer than what they are. They lose by 5 on the road. Very close game. Only lose by 1 to Florida. I think they could end up playing themselves into the NCAA tournament. They're very much so on the cusp. And if they were playing in a different league, like the ACC, they probably are a tournament team. Or if they were playing in another conference, they probably are playing in the NCAA tournament. And another conference other than the Big East or the Big 12, like if they were playing in the Pac-12 or the ACC, they're probably dancing. I think the SEC is very difficult. You lose by 4 on the road in Bud Walton Arena, and it went to overtime, right? And you had a chance to win it in regulation. Honestly, you're up by 5 with a minute and a half left. Should have won it, right? It took every fiber, and I've said this a lot, it took every fiber of all of those teams' beings just to pull the upset. Auburn, at their worst, at Auburn's worst, it took these teams' best just to be able to beat them by a measly 4 points in overtime?
I agree.
Measly 5 points. And so, hold on. the league is so difficult and winning on the road is so difficult. That's not the type of environment that you're going into in March. These aren't the types of – this is not – they are not the same. And I don't think – and I'm with you. Auburn has to improve their individual performance, and what's going on with everybody else does not affect Auburn's individual performance. But in talking about this from a relative standpoint, I think Auburn's issues that they're dealing with are less than the issues that everyone else is dealing with. And that's why I have confidence – that when everything is equalized, Auburn's out of the gauntlet that the SEC is. Auburn's not playing on the road anymore. Auburn's on a neutral floor. Auburn's shooting a Wilson basketball. Auburn's getting to – it's going to be a much more comfortable environment for Auburn. And all they got to worry about is just playing ball. And if they play their brand of basketball that is successful, they will go far and they will have a very good chance at winning the national championship. That's what I'm getting to, and it's all relative, and that everybody else is dealing with these issues. Their issues are worse than Auburn. And so comparatively speaking, when everything equalizes out, I think Auburn's going to be coming into March on better footing than some of these other programs are.
And I want you to be 100% right.
We're going to find out.
And we're about to find out. You're exactly right. But here's my problem with that is – some of the problems we've seen Auburn have haven't just been on the road. We've seen Auburn start slow at home. They played Vanderbilt. They got down by like 13-0 to start the game. We've seen Auburn blow leads in Auburn Arena, now Neville Arena. We've seen Auburn have these issues at home, but they've been able to use that environment to get back and do what they got to do. And it doesn't, nothing has changed, and that's my problem. And I understand the SEC is extremely difficult. It's one of, if not the best conference in college basketball. And I understand that it's a gauntlet to play through SEC play, but it doesn't get easier when you go to the NCAA tournament. Yeah, maybe round one, possibly round two.
It's easier for two rounds.
But once you hit the Sweet 16.
Depending on your seed.
Yeah, depending on your seed.
In Auburn's case, it will be easier for two rounds.
Yes, but once you hit the Sweet 16, those are going to be harder games than playing on the road at Tennessee. If not, it'll be pretty close because it's not easy to win the NCAA tournament. It's the hardest tournament. It's the hardest postseason to win because you got to win six straight games and you got to play in so little preparation time and play teams you have no idea about. So
it's a fair point to call out Auburn's performances at home where they've blown leads. So that is a very fair point to point out, because if they do that on a neutral floor, they don't have the home court advantage to help pull them back or ahead. But the reality is, and we know this, we watch a lot of basketball. March is a different animal.
It is.
March calls for a different level of performances. And one thing that you and I both can agree on is that Auburn does have to be better in March. It's just my belief that they will be.
And my take may completely change. We've talked about this already. I had my hot take, of course, that Auburn, they lost at Tennessee. I said they're not going to win the national title, not playing like they are right now. And I still stand by that. But I also said that that point, in my view, could change in about a week and a half and see how an Auburn plays next week in Tampa. Because if they decide magically that they are able to fix their problems, play good basketball, I will 100% change it. Because if they start playing good and start beating teams and come out of the SEC tournament and play fantastic basketball and look like the team they can be, then nobody's going to beat them. But right now, as it stands with one game to go, and it's crazy to think that, because Auburn's about to win the regular season SEC title. That's insane to think about.
That's why I think everybody's overreacting.
But
because Auburn held serve in the toughest conference in college basketball and is about to win it outright and only has four losses.
All of those things are true, but I still think
their
problems...
Don't be a Jesse Newell.
Don't
freak out too much.
I still think their problems are going to be too big to overcome. It's going to come back and bite them. I don't want it to. Believe me, folks, I don't want to be right. I like to be right, okay? Let's just be honest. I like to be right.
But who's
but
to say that other teams...
That.
Because once again, you're going to get stacked up with somebody, right? Like by the Sweet 16, Auburn's going to get stacked up with somebody that has worse problems than Auburn. Who's to say that their problems doesn't cost them the game against Auburn, right? That's where I'm saying everything equalizes out. And when you compare Auburn to other teams, Auburn's got so many more pieces, so much more talent. They're deeper. They have so many different places that they can go to figure out their issues. Whereas you look at a team like Arkansas, right? Top four in the SEC, has won 14 out of their last 15 games. You take JD Notae off that team, where are they? Are they in the tournament?
Yeah.
Barely. They're probably in Florida spot.
Okay, take Jabari Smith off of Auburn. They're in the tournament, but where are they? Right? I mean, if you take Auburn's best player.
They could be like Alabama.
Take Jabari, or before last night, take Walker Kessler off this basketball team. I know he didn't have a good game last night.
Those are fair points, but the direction that I want to go with that, and I want to continue on with what I was saying, maybe the way that I phrased that probably wasn't the best way to go with that, but J.D. Notae is on the Arkansas Razorbacks, right? He is carrying a heavy load of that offense. Arkansas doesn't have any other places to go outside of J.D. Notae, other than maybe a Jalen Williams, right, that you feel confident can carry a team through the thickest parts of March, right? Whereas Auburn, we've seen many different players contribute to victories. We've seen Wendell Green, even though he's playing very bad right now, we've seen Wendell Green. We've seen Zepp Jasper. We have seen, I said Jepp, I promised myself I would never go to that. We saw Zepp Jasper do that. We have seen Walker Kessler. We've seen Jabari Smith. We've seen KD Johnson. We've even seen Devin Cambridge across his career at Auburn. Like, we have seen so many different players be the reason why Auburn won a basketball game. Whereas you look at other teams in college basketball, they do not have as many weapons to throw at you. They do not have as many reasons to point to why that team can beat someone like an Auburn. And that's why I have confidence. When I'm talking about the issues that the other teams have, they don't have as many solutions either, right? They have worse issues with less solutions. Auburn's got issues that I think are manageable, and they have more solutions on the team. That's why people should still have confidence. There are solutions with this team, whereas other teams don't have that. And that's why I wanted to use Arkansas as that example. Who's the solution on Arkansas other than J.D. Notae? Who's the solution? Let me ask you about Tennessee's offense. Who's the solution for Tennessee, right?
Yeah.
Is it Kennedy Chandler blowing up for 26 in a game? That doesn't happen that often, knocking down threes, right? I mean, Tennessee's over here losing 58-48 to Arkansas on the road. Auburn didn't do that, you know? they played better against Arkansas than Kentucky did. So when you break it down, and I know I'm just talking in the scope of the SEC, there are a couple of other teams in the nation that possess some of what Auburn has. Gonzaga has solutions. I think Duke has solutions. With Mark Jackson and Paolo Banchero, they've got solutions, right? Not as many as Auburn. I don't think Duke's nearly as deep as Auburn. They only play 7 or 8 guys on a given basis. That's been Coach K's style in terms of how he uses his bench. But you go up and down the top 25, you go up and down bracketology right now. Baylor, their solutions dwindle a little bit with injuries, right? Arizona, how many solutions do they have? Because when we've seen them play good competition outside the Pac-12, it hasn't been pretty, right? Kansas, it's pretty much Agbaji, man. It's pretty much it. And granted, he's great, but he's averaging 20 points a game. I'd rather Jabari be averaging 15 and other guys be doing stuff than Jabari have to drop 27.
I agree.
And so, you know, you break it down once again. You go through the top 10. You go through the top, you know, three seeds through basketball, you know, the top three seed lines. And you look at all these teams, you compare Auburn to them. Auburn's deeper than all of them and has more solutions. That's why I like this team so much. Everybody's got problems right now. It's a race to figure out your problems in March. It's who figures it. It's the team that figured it out the best that wins the whole title. And Auburn's got more solutions than most teams in college basketball. 99% of them. There may only be a handful inside the top 10 that actually can match Auburn. And it's about those teams figuring out how to minimize their weaknesses and maximize their strengths and ultimately overcome the adversity that they will face in March. And that's what was so important to me about last night in Starkville, is that Auburn did something that they hadn't done yet in weeks. They found a way. They broke through. They won. They were losing these games.
But they finally figured it out, a way to win a road game under controversy. I agree. I 100% agree.
We hadn't seen that yet.
We have not seen that. And I've been burned to say that Auburn was taken in turning that corner. I hope you're right. I want you to be right. I want this team to be great because they can be great. You're right.
I think they are great. They're 26-4. They're great.
They're
in the scope of college basketball, they are great. They're 26-4. Let's just amend that to, because they are historic. They're a historic Auburn basketball team. They are great. They are special. We want this team to be national champions. Let's just call it what it is. We want them to be the best. We want them to be the last one standing.
Because they have that potential to be. They have too much talent. Let's continue this conversation on the other side of this break. You're listening to On the Line. Welcome back into On the Line here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama. Jacob Goins, Noah Gardner with you today on the Thursday edition of the show. Just a few more minutes before we head to the national break at 3:30. We'll come back for the last 30 minutes here of the Thursday edition of On the Line. Noah, we've been having a nice heated discussion about Auburn basketball.
Oh, it's all love, brother. I love it, man. I love it.
This is why I'm in this field, man. I love these types of conversations. And anybody listening out there, call in and give us your opinion. We want to hear from you. Give us a call here on the line, 334-321-1390, or toll free at 888-382-7502. We want to hear from you.
Something I want to add to the discussion before we go to the phone lines. We were talking about, what if Auburn did blow out Mississippi State last night? And I did ask you, I said, what does it do for Auburn if Auburn somehow blows out Mississippi State last night? I think it's a good thing that Auburn had to win a close game last night. Now, that's the optimist in me. That's the half-glass full way to look at it. But think about this. All the close games that Auburn had been playing on the road in recent memory, even the Georgia and Missouri games, they barely escaped Georgia. That was, and the Missouri game as well. Those, you just got by on the skin of your teeth. But at the time when Auburn won those games, people were like, yeah, this is a good thing, right? Like, Auburn found a way to win close games, and then they didn't for about a month, right, on the road. And so that puts the seed of doubt when you've got this trend and you're going through this trend of not winning close games. You find a way to win that game like you did last night against a good basketball team. It could have helped. I mean, we talk about all these finding solutions, right? Auburn at least found a solution last night. All the other games they've been losing. And so at least they found a solution last night to win. And I think that does good for Auburn, that maybe it can generate some confidence down the stretch where they might have been lacking. If you watch Auburn in the final moments of Tennessee, Arkansas, and Florida, did anybody other than Jabari Smith look confident in what they were doing in those moments?
Body language was very negative.
Honestly, did last night they look confident in the final moments of the regulation period?
No.
Exactly.
Jabari did.
Other than Jabari, right? And so you look at what Auburn did in overtime to win the basketball game, it's like, I think it can be served as a good thing. It can be seen as a good thing that maybe this helps give Auburn some confidence when close games roll around again that they can win these games away from home. They can win these games without Auburn Arena behind them. But that's what you were asking. It's like Auburn Arena helped push this team forward after some bad halves, after some bad runs in Auburn Arena where it was cut to single digits by teams and they were blowing leads. But ultimately, Auburn Arena helped push these guys to victory. They need some confidence on the road to be able to do that, to be able to find it away from home, away from the safe confines of Auburn Arena. Last night was a step towards that. So be happy they won. Be thankful that they won. And I know that you're not being unthankful. You know, I know you're, you know, it's a relief. And everything that you're saying is valid. Auburn's got to play better. I'm just saying last night's part of the growth to that point. Nobody just jumps from 0 to 100. Nobody just jumps from 0 to complete. Last night was at least a step towards that. Now let's see what they do in the conference tournament. And when they get to the conference tournament, if the trends continue and they continue to play bad and they lose games to teams that they shouldn't, yeah, then I'm going to be worrying. And that's what I've said earlier this week. That's what I'll hold to, is I'm not going to worry until this thing gets to tournament time. And I think Auburn's going to be just fine in the SEC tournament. I'm going to go ahead and give you my prediction right now, right? The SEC tournament championship will be played between Auburn and Kentucky. And I think Auburn's got a very nice shot at winning that game. But honestly, that's a 50-50 matchup, I think, between those two teams when they're both playing at their best. I think you can – I mean, if that game earlier this year was played in Rupp Arena, Auburn probably loses. I believe that. If Auburn plays at Rupp earlier this year, Auburn loses. But the same can be true for everybody else, because guess what? Tennessee lost at Arkansas. Auburn lost at Tennessee. Auburn lost at Arkansas. Kentucky lost at Arkansas, Auburn, and Tennessee. All these teams lost to each other on the road. Arkansas is about to play Tennessee on Saturday. They're probably going to lose on the road, just being real. That has been the SEC. Look at their home records. They're all undefeated at home, man. They've got one loss amongst that group combined. When this gets to a neutral floor, it's all 50-50. But I'm going to tell you, the two teams that are going to wilt in the top four when it comes to tournament time, I'm not buying Arkansas and Tennessee in tournament time. I'm buying Auburn and Kentucky. That's going to be your SEC championship game, and then it's a coin flip on who wins it.
Let's head to the break here on the line. When we come back, we'll get to Terry on the phone. Stay with us, Terry. Welcome back into On the Line here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama. Jacob Goins, Noah Gardner with you here on the Thursday edition of the show. About 30 minutes left in hour number two. If you've missed any of the show, just search On the Line wherever you get your podcasts. Let's head to the phone lines, 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. Terry on line one. Terry, welcome in.
Guys, how y'all doing?
We're doing good,
Pretty
Terry.
Pretty well. Pretty well.
Fantastic. No, you're getting a little bit, getting your feathers ruffled a little bit there, aren't you?
I'm passionate. I'm defending this team on this hill.
Yeah, I tried to sell that at work for 25 years. I was passionate, not mad. look, I don't disagree with anything you said, but I think what bothers Auburn fans, that certainly bothers me, the guard play is terrible, and I see a bunch of guys standing around waiting on Jabari Smith to make a play. And that's kind of what I'm starting to witness, and I don't like it. And naturally, we're not going to know until the brackets come out how the line. But do people forget the bracket Auburn had to go through a couple of years ago to get to the Final Four?
That's a little bit different of a situation, considering they were a 5 seed that year. Like, that was going to put you eventually in the Sweet 16 against a 1 seed, and you're going to have to play a 4 immediately. Like, Auburn's going to play as a 1 or 2 in this one, and it's going to be a relatively easy path to the Sweet 16 compared to everybody else, of course. But I do remember that. It was brutal. It was the region of death.
Well, I remember when I saw the region, I said, there's no way Auburn gets knocked out. If they get Sweet 16, I'll be happy. And you know, what was it, Kansas, North Carolina, and Kentucky?
Yeah, in that order. It was in that order.
So, I just can't believe. Now, Kansas, I think, was missing a guy, but, you know, kind of like Kentucky. If Auburn plays Kentucky, I think Kentucky would skunk them, because I think Auburn's backcourt is really struggling. Sheway, it is what it is. The guard that didn't play against Auburn at home, if he played, maybe he makes a difference. I really believe that. I really do. I don't like Calipari at all. I don't like him, and I think he's a crybaby.
But that's Auburn on the road that you're talking about, Terry. I think Auburn on a neutral site or Auburn at home may be completely different, right? And I'm at least impressed that Auburn broke through last night. That's what we've been talking about the last two segments, is that Auburn did something that they haven't done for over a month. They found a way to win a close game on the road.
Yeah, no, but it'd been more impressive against a tournament team in Tennessee, a tournament team in Arkansas, and a Florida team that may be a tournament team, but certainly a team that's been in the elite part of the NCAA tournament, a team that's won a national title.
Okay, well, let me ask you this then, Terry, and I'm with you. You're making valid points. Everybody that's talking about their issues with the team, I can't deny there's issues with this team, right? Kentucky lost on the road to all three of the other teams in the top four. They have the exact same problems that Auburn has, you know? I just think we're trying to extrapolate too much.
I'm sorry. I think basketball more than any other sport is about matchup. I just think Auburn doesn't match up well with Kentucky, quite honestly, because the backcourt is so bad. I mean, it's playing so bad. I don't say they're bad. They're just playing bad.
They are playing bad, and they're going to have to play better.
And the out-rebounded thing really bothers me. I mean, it's one thing to be out-rebounded by 3 or 4, but 18?
That is a lot. And to continue that from what happened this past weekend against Tennessee, I mean, they allowed another team to get more than 20 offensive rebounds 2 games in a row, which is horrible. And watching last night's game, it's because people were not doing fundamentally what you have to do to be able to rebound. Everybody's ball watching and not putting a body on somebody to box out. When Jalen Williams and Dylan Cardwell only get 1 rebound, that is for a lack of trying. And they just weren't trying yesterday.
You see it. Sonny Smith pointed out several times in the game, you got to rebound with 5 guys.
Yes.
And before the when the shot's up, some guys are already taken off back down court.
Yep.
And that's got to stop. That. And by the way, the mentality you're talking about, the only 4.0, that's got to change. That's got to change at Auburn, period, not just basketball, everything. Because, you know, losing is just losing. And you say, well, Alabama loses. Alabama loses 1 game. They think they have a bad year. So, in football. But, you know, that's got to change. That's really got to change. Because if you have a 4-point loss in March, guess what? You're going home.
That's true. My point about the 4-point losses, though, is that it's not that Auburn lost. The loss is it's bad, right? And we've been talking about Auburn's issues for weeks to months now, right? My point about the 4-point loss is when Auburn was at its worst, and you can't deny Auburn has been at its worst on the road for the last 4 or 5 games, right? When Auburn has been at its worst on the road, it took all of those other teams' best to beat Auburn when they were still at their worst. So what happens when this team comes back to equilibrium and they start at least playing somewhat like their best, right? I think a lot of teams are going to be in trouble.
Yeah, and don't forget, Noah and Jacob, Auburn didn't have Zepp Jasper against Arkansas, right?
You're right.
That is true, and they still almost won.
And that's what I've been saying. That's what I've been saying, yeah.
That's a factor, certainly, but the rebound thing really bothers me, and the turnovers. How many turnovers did they have last night, guys?
14. Yeah, it is too many, but it's not like what Mississippi State had, which was 20, right? Alabama did last night against A&M, that was 20. But, Terry, we appreciate the call, my man. We got to move on to someone else.
Take care, guys.
You too. And now we got Dan on the line with us. Dan, what's up?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing pretty well.
Okay, I'm going to bounce around here on a couple things. First of all, I've watched most of the teams that are in the top, and they all have issues, like you're saying. And teams that are losing every single night. You know, so I don't think that there's any team out there that I'm scared of where I don't think that we can't beat them. I think if we play our best, I think we're the best team. I truly believe that. We have a guy on our team that is virtually unstoppable right now. I mean, the guy is shooting as good as anybody I've ever seen in college, and you know, I mean, he's pretty incredible.
He's amazing.
But if you notice what happened last night, I'm just looking at the stats here on my phone, and when you talk about the three position, you got Allen Flanagan plays 19 minutes, 1 for 6, 1 rebound, 4 turnovers. And then you go to Cambridge, he's 2 for 7, 1 for 6 from three-point range, 1 for 2 from the free throw line, 1 rebound, 1 assist, 1 steal. That's 40 minutes of a position that has given you virtually nothing.
What about Walker Kessler last night too? You know, and we all like Walker Kessler a lot, but he only got 4 shots up yesterday. You know,
he also grabbed 10 boards though.
Yeah, you got to do better than 4 shots though.
Oh, I agree.
Now look, now what I will say is this: okay, at the end of the game, Bruce did something that he hadn't done all year, and he played. Or when we went into overtime, he played all 3 guards, and we started just all of a sudden forcing the issue and going fast. And they were already tired. I mean, look, we play great defense. That is one thing that there may not be maybe one or two other teams in the whole thing out there that plays defense like we do. And that means you're going to be in every single game. And so we just need a couple of people to step up. Look, half those shots Cambridge took, he was wide open. He just didn't make them. You know, now I'm very happy that all of a sudden, you know, we looked at Jasper, so he's just a defensive guy and offensive liability. You know, and yeah, he didn't do much the last game, but in 2 of the last 3 games, he's 75% from 3-point range. So at least we know he can shoot. You know, it's another guy that if he just keeps stepping up, and then Katie Johnson kind of was getting in the funk, and then the last few games he started coming out. It's just, I think, you know, Wendell, yeah, he struggled some, but a lot of his struggles are he's always handling the ball, but he ends up shooting shots that are bad shots. Now, I don't mind him shooting a deep shot. He can make those. I just don't like it when it's on a fast break and there's nobody there to rebound and he just chunks it up. And if he doesn't make it, then it's a guaranteed change of possession.
It's a turnover, yeah.
There's just things that we can do better just by being a little bit smarter. But we have the best shot blocker in the whole country, and we also have the best scorer in the whole country.
Yeah, the best shot maker.
I mean, you're talking – he took 13 shots and he made some free throws. That's not a guy who's ball hogging it. If we have to – we could go to him like nonstop, and that guy is just—he's getting better and better, and he's great on the defensive end. So, look, there are things that we have that can take us to the promised land. There's not a lot of teams don't have those things.
Correct solutions.
I watched Duke. I mean, Blanchero, he was 2 for 14 the other day, didn't do anything. You know, I watched. I mean, Gonzaga. I mean, St. Mary's. I guess they just outplayed them completely. Gonzaga looked. To me, I hope we're in Gonzaga's bracket. I mean, I think they're a good offensive team. But you know what? All these battles that we played all year long and you know, on the road and in rough environments where those teams, you look at Florida, Arkansas, they are, you know, the Mississippi State, they all needed to beat us to get into the tournament. And beating us was like, if we can beat Auburn, we can get ourselves into the tournament. Okay, so we're getting team's best shot because they know they need to beat us to get into the tournament. Or, you know, they're obviously trying to move way up into the tournament, like, you know, Tennessee. Those are hard places to play. Those are really good teams. But on a neutral court, I like our odds. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, I still think we have as much shot. And for us to do what we're doing, to barely lose a few of the games to this point, with so many people having bad off games – if we get it together a little bit, if one other guy steps up each game or whatever, we're blowing teams out versus, yep, you know, winning close games. So, like, I think things can come together. But I think Bruce playing the 3 guards at the end of the game was a new notch that he can throw out there that he hasn't done all year. And, you know, it worked out pretty well because we were just blowing right by him, which we, you know, obviously it is tough on the road. The SEC is brutal. Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, yeah, Dan. I'll be honest, man. Dan made me feel pretty good. He made some points that I agree with. He made multiple. I ain't 100% sold. Calm down now. Calm down. But, Dan, I appreciate the call because...
What did I have to do, man?
I just like the way he
come
said it.
Come in with a boombox? What is this?
Maybe get Dan in here. I don't know. But
I've been saying this all
no,
show.
He made a couple points that I agree with. Now, he did start out by saying there's nobody in the tournament that he's going to be scared of for Auburn. I do disagree with that. There's a couple teams, we talked about this yesterday, that I don't want to see Auburn matched up with because they don't match up well. And as Terry was saying,
at some point, we should all be a little concerned because the team that you're playing can beat you at some point in the NCAA tournament. The deeper and deeper you go, you're playing a dog.
Exactly. But the some points that Dan did make that I agreed with was in overtime, we talked about this. You texted me about it last night. The rotation of Zeb Jasper, Wendell Green, KD Johnson,
it was
Jabari,
interesting.
And Walker.
It was clearly who Bruce Pearl trusted.
Those five were on the floor at the same time. And what did Auburn do? They exploded for 20 points in 5 minutes of game time. And a lot
Flanagan
of that was KD.
Flanagan was minus 9 minutes played from where he was on Saturday. Played 28 against Tennessee, played 19 against Mississippi State, and there was an overtime period. You
exactly.
know what I mean?
It's so, like
there was, and Cambridge played 19 minutes. You got more bench minutes out there. I was intrigued by that.
I like that rotation. I don't know if we'll see that as a starting five, just because if Wendell Green can get back to playing elite-level basketball, he's such an asset coming off the bench that the drop-off, if you start those five guys versus who you would bring in after them, the drop-off would be too big.
You don't want that to be your starting five because Zeb Jasper is going to set the tone for you on defense, and Auburn's got enough offense in their starting five to where they're going to set the tone there as well. And you're certainly right about a drop-off. If you all of a sudden have Wendell Green in the starting five and now all of a sudden you've got to distribute those minutes, who's the backup point guard?
Exactly.
There is no backup point guard. It is Wendell Green, right? He plays a lot of minutes, and that's how the minutes are balanced out. He still plays 31 minutes. Zeb played 35 last night, you know? I mean, partially because we went to overtime, but I'm just saying – you need, when Zep is going to get a breather, you need to be able to go to somebody who can at least score. And despite Wendell's struggles, he is capable of scoring and distributing the basketball. He still had 7 assists last night,
which is really good. And that's what his job is. He had 7 assists, 4 turnovers, which isn't good, but 7 assists. He almost balanced it out to the 2-1 ratio I like for guards. But he's got to take better shots, and that's what we've had. We've been talking about. Callers have called in and said that same thing. Wendell Green has got to take better shots. Dribbling down the floor and taking a pull-up three from 30 feet is not ideal, and him running into the lane, throwing up something wild is not ideal, but I know he can make those
shots.
He's
not getting a lot of fouls called, and I'm curious about that.
He's playing for the fouls.
And I'm curious about that, and KD hasn't had a lot go his way either, and we were talking about a couple weeks ago how officiating seems to be changing the way that they're calling games and how guys – that typically force the issue. They're not getting calls like a KD Johnson or a Wendell Green. A lot of Wendell's misses last time. He only shot 4 threes. He was 1 for 4 from
three.
They're
at the rim.
Right? They were layups. Some of them were chippies that he's missed. So I think if he would be, he's having a hard time finishing amongst the trees. He's having a hard time finishing through contact. If that improves, Wendell Green's efficiency increases drastically, and now all of a sudden people are a little bit more afraid of him off the bounce, and that's going to open him up for better shots at the 3-point line. I think some of Wendell's issues or that he's having a hard time playing against physical guards and players that are bigger than him in the paint. He's not being efficient enough when he gets inside the arc either, and that's a point that people aren't bringing up because he is taking a lot of threes, but he's also not being efficient inside the arc either. When you're 2 for 15, bro, you are bad inside and out.
Quit shooting the ball when you're 2 for 15. You know, like, it's not obviously not your night, and I understand shooting to get out. Shoot or shoot, I get that, but he's also a point guard. He's not supposed to shoot the ball 15 times. He's not supposed to try and score 30 points. That's not his job. 7 assists last night, that's awesome. I love that from Wendell Green. And one more point to Dan's phone call before we head to our final break. He said that, of course, we have Jabari, you know, one of the, if not the best player in the country, the best shooter, the best scorer in the country. He is the best player in the country, let's just be honest. But we can't just go to him every time. I would love that. Give Jabari the ball and everybody else get out of the way. I love that. But that won't work for very long because what was Auburn's bread and butter for the first 2 or 3 months of the season? The pick and roll with Wendell Green and Walker Kessler. You know what Auburn doesn't do anymore? The pick and roll with Wendell Green and Walker Kessler because teams figured it out. And what did I always say? I said, run that play every time until they figure it out. Well, now they have. They've figured out how to defend it. Walker Kessler had 4 shots and 4 points last night. And that would be the same thing if you just fed Jabari the ball every time. Not that he can't make plays, because he can make them for himself.
I think they kind of are right now, though, and people can't stop it. I think it's gotten to that point.
And they may not, and I hope they can't, because that's
awesome.
Honestly,
it's my contention. I don't think we're doing enough set plays for Jabari.
Set plays. And he can also create his own shot. But teams are going to figure – I mean, teams are smart,
I think we're
man.
Doing too much of the back down fadeaway jumper, which can work with Jabari. I understand that.
But him putting the ball on the floor last night at the end of overtime when he drove right hand and yammed it on somebody, that's what I want to see Jabari Smith do.
I just don't think we're running enough for Jabari, right, and getting him open threes. It's like for some reason we run a set play for somebody to get an open three other than Jabari. I'm like – yeah, there's only one guy on this team that I want shooting this three right now, and it's not Devin Cambridge from the corner. I'm going to be real. It's not.
Auburn does the same thing every time. They set high ball screens and just hope somebody gets open, and that's just – Auburn's got to figure out some more offensive plays, and yes, get the ball to number 10 because he's the best player in the country, but that can't be the offensive game plan every single time down. You start drawing plays for him and he gets shots, then they're going to start double-teaming him, and that opens up the floor for other players.
Before we go to break, let's look at some of the other things that happened in college basketball last night, namely in the SEC. Texas A&M, you and I, we have talked a lot about the SEC, and I think you hold a much lower vision of the SEC than I do.
Shocker, right? I know. Shocker.
The SEC is the best conference in basketball. Nobody else has a top five like the SEC, and honestly, I think the middle of the pack is getting an unfair reputation for cannibalizing itself. I just think it's that good. And Florida and Texas A&M, now that Mississippi State lost, I think Florida and Texas A&M, that's not me just saying this. Joe Lunardi backs it up. Mike DeSourcy of Fox is backing it up in his bracketology. Florida and A&M, they have got a shot to make the tournament. I think it's more likely. It's definitely likely. All six of the tournament teams in the SEC right now are projected as a six seed or better. So, the SEC is not dropping a team from the field. Six are getting in. There's a chance to get seven. And A&M beating Alabama by 16 on the road last night puts A&M in a position to where, and I think they do have more work to do than Florida, considering they're not even on the bubble yet. They're an arm's length away from the bubble. If A&M beats Mississippi State on Saturday, wins in the second round of the SEC tournament, and then wins in the quarters, so they got to make it to the semifinals of the SEC tournament. If they make it to the semifinals of the SEC tournament, I think A&M will have done enough to make it to the NCAA tournament, because that will have been two ranked wins over the last 2 weeks of the season. They will have won all but one of their last like seven or eight games. It kind of makes you forget about the eight-game losing streak that they had. They'll be a 20-plus win team. A 20-plus win team out of the SEC that was above 500 in conference play, put them in the tournament. Get off my lawn, put them in the tournament. And Florida, they have less work that they have to do. I think if they beat Kentucky on Saturday, they're in. Even if they were, and they could win just one game, and they'll be playing in the second round, there's no hope for them to get the double bye. If they beat Kentucky on Saturday and then win their first game of the SEC tournament, they're in. Whereas I do think A&M has to win out until the semis.
Those are two interesting takes, and I'll give you that.
Oh, it's reality. But it ain't a take. It's reality. That's what they got to do, Jacob.
But ain't none of those teams, neither one of them, they ain't
may
doing
not,
that.
It may not happen. You are correct. It is a little bit of a hill to climb.
I like you drawing out the plan, because can it happen? Sure. But it ain't happened.
I think it's more realistic for A&M to do it than Florida, because I think Florida does need the Kentucky win.
I agree.
Either that or they're going to have to go. If Florida doesn't get the win on Saturday against Kentucky, they have to make it to the semifinals of the SEC tournament, because they need another ranked win. They absolutely need another resume builder, blockbuster win. They need it. And if they don't get that against Kentucky, they're going to have to go to the semifinals of the SEC tournament, just like A&M. But I think if A&M wins, if both of these teams make the semifinals of the SEC tournament, assuming A&M wins on Saturday against Mississippi State, which I definitely think is possible, if both of those teams do that, dude, you might could get to eight. You might could get to eight out of the SEC, but I think it's more likely you get to seven. Let's take a quick break. Let's talk a little Auburn baseball here on the Line. We got about 3 minutes left. I mean, we can keep talking college basketball if you want. You hate the SEC.
I don't hate the SEC. I don't hate
Leave
Auburn.
Leave it to the man from Ohio who doesn't share our sentiments for the SEC here.
No. Don't get me with that. Miss me with that.
You Mr. Ohio guy, you Yankee.
Stop, dude. No, I do not like that. No, I love the SEC. I love Auburn, and I am not an Ohio State guy. Don't get me started.
I didn't say you were an Ohio State guy. I said you're from the state of Ohio.
Yeah, well, you know.
So you don't share our same sentiments for the Southeastern Conference. We are the best conference in everything we play.
Are you trying to turn everybody against me, bro?
No, but you do have, I think, an unrealistic view of the SEC this year. I do think you are off on that one.
And hey, that's the beauty of what we do.
This is the best conference in basketball. Believe it or not, I'm going to throw some trivia out there to you on bracketology. It's been a fun fact day here, okay? I'm going to throw a trivia question out there to you. Which conference currently has the most teams in the NCAA tournament right now, according to Joe Lunardi? Which conference has the most teams?
Is this what day was this like updated at?
March 1st.
March 1st.
As of Tuesday.
Tuesday. So another one will come out tomorrow morning from Joe Lunardi. Another one will come out tomorrow morning. But,
Which conference?
The SEC has the most is second teams? With six.
That is false. They're
really?
Third.
Third with six.
They're third with six. Now, I think that number is going to increase.
Is it my conference, the Big East? Is it my boys?
No, they are second. By two teams, they are second. They have two less teams in the field than this conference. You've taken out two of the big ones. I'll give you one more guess.
It's the Big Ten.
It is the Big Ten with nine. Nine
Wild.
Of the Big Ten in the current field. You didn't expect that one, but I think it is. I think most of that's warranted. Indiana's going to be dropped from this. So there will be eight. Indiana will fall out. Rutgers is safe. Assuming that, you know, the Michigan result tonight against Iowa could heavily affect them. They're a last four bye team. If they lose, look, they're going to be 16-13. I got Iowa winning tonight. They're going to be 16-13. They're going to be in on the skin of their teeth, and they probably have some work to do in the Big Ten. They can't fail to lose in the Big Ten tournament. If Michigan loses their next two games, and granted, it is against Ohio State on Saturday or Sunday, whenever they play, but still, if Michigan lost out for the rest of the season, I don't think you can put them in the tournament. They'll be 16-15. You can't put that in the NCAA tournament.
That's exactly what I was about to say.
So the Big Ten probably will trim one or two more. We'll trim at least one. I think Indiana, that was a nail potentially. That was at least one nail in the coffin. They can still dig out, but they're getting buried right now, okay? Indiana could potentially play their way back in, but it's going to be about the Big Ten tournament for them. And then you talk about Michigan. There's a realistic chance for Michigan to lose out from here. So I think that would doom them also from the NCAA tournament. I think it's possible for the SEC to get another team in.
Very well could be possible. But the SEC is still the best conference in football, basketball, baseball, equestrian,
chess,
softball, everything. SEC, baby. Don't miss me with that,
he's having
man.
To do some good politics to get him back in everybody's good graces.
And that's why I do it at the end of the show.
That's it for another edition of On the Live. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Same time, same place. You know where to find us.